tonight because I've messed up the computer royally, which is fun. Again, I mean, I've got a new computer and programs. It's just a mess. You know, you do this. I had the same computer for 12 years. Got really good. Got it, like, you know, right to a good spot. And then it decided to go slower than molasses. You know, Windows 12, I guess it is. You know, computer designed to run Windows 8 has problem when running Windows 12. But my guest tonight is the other doc. As we continue our winter, our December roast around the former guests and return visits. So John Mallard, the host of the Odd the Newfoundland podcast, and who knows what he's doing. He's, you know, from Newfoundland, so he's probably out ice fishing or something. But anyways, how are you doing tonight, John?
Oh, yeah. We're ice fishing all right. We're ice fishing. Hang on now. Makes you look nice and pretty here. There we go. Jim. I got the most beautiful view of your forehead I've ever seen.
Wait, you can fix that.
It's gorgeous. No, let's leave it there. Now it feels like old times. Hang on, let me get my Thomas Fusco book out here. Okay, let's go.
Oh, boy. I was just thinking about him the other day. Have you talked to him in a while?
I haven't talked to him in a long time, but just love that guy. And anytime I get to hear him on radio, just always fun. And he's just rocket fuel for anybody who's into the paranormal, who's sick of people with science minds who are like, hey, there's nothing to this paranormal thing. He really is. Like, if you study his stuff, it's pretty legit. It's interesting.
Once you stay awake, get through it. It's gets a little wordy there for a while, but
Tom, it's only as dry as you want it to be.
Yeah, Tom knows I love him, though. So
but there's freaking pictures in it. I mean, come on, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, not enough for me, you know.
Jim, you look well. You look well.
Sure, if you say so. So how you been?
Not too bad. I had quite a wild ride with all this. 10 years ago, I started my show. So there'll be 10 years in July. Oof. Like, where did this 10 years go? I remember being on your show like, I don't know, 10 years ago?
I don't have that right in front of me. We put this together too close to the last minute for me to do that digging.
That's okay. I love last minute, right?
Yeah, but
some of the best stuff I've ever done is last minute, you know? pretty much all my kids.
cheaper by the dozen, right? Oh, anyway. No, I can't believe it's been 10 years. Kat Ward just had her, sixth anniversary a month ago or so?
Yeah. That's just blew my mind. Making me feel older.
I tried to talk her into it for like 2 or 3 years, so it should be that many more. So
it's crazy. Right. It's crazy.
My show is older than that, so that even blows my mind.
We get to that point where we got people who are on our show who are no longer with us anymore. Passed away now. Like, once you get like that 5-10 mark, like, there's people who like you can't talk to anymore. It's really interesting. Yeah. You know, I think at the end of the day, we're going to be dinosaurs to somebody. And my thought is maybe some of the stuff we've actually taken and recorded is going to be remembered forever, really. You left yourself a nice digital footprint for other people to walk and tread on, so to speak. And
I hope so, right, man? Because someday I'd like somebody to be researching Tom Fusco and say, hey, here's an interview or 4 or 5 I did with him, right? Whatever it is, and be like, now I can hear the voice and put a name with that, and
right,
and understand a little bit more. And
I just think of Tom as soon as I talk to you, because you're the one who hooked me up with that guy. And I was like, you got to have him on your show. Like, he's great. I had him on. It was just like, how am I ever going to get this guy in a half hour? <You're not. laughs> But there we are. And look at you, big rebranding. This is years ago now.
Yeah,
and still going strong after all these years, still doing this, still loving this. Involving a lot more stuff though in Pennsylvania. You're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm still there, still kicking a lot of tail. Yeah. It's kind of an interesting concept these days because there's a lot going on here. So hopefully I can keep all these balls juggling. But I have to be honest with myself at some point. You know, something might have to give at some point, but we'll see.
Yeah, I remember I was like, yeah, I'm only doing a monthly show. It's too much.
Yeah.
Can't do this. Like, it's too much research. Like, my stuff is a longer show and segmented. So it was just a different approach altogether. And then it was like, okay, this is too much, so I need to split it up. And then you wind up doing two or three shows a month anyway. Yeah, you can't escape it. It's the vortex of my weekly show that's supposed to be monthly.
Well, it happens to the best of us or the worst of us. I don't know.
I can't imagine my life without it. You know, it's been the constant for 10 years now. And it's like, look forward to it and hearing back from people. And just, I love the idea that we all have different boxes we can all just go jump into and be there. I can be in my wrestling box where I'm surrounded by my wrestling buddies. I can be in my paranormal box where I'm surrounded by all my paranormal buddies. And, you know, pretty much there's anywhere to hide from the kids and wife. We can just hide, right? How is Tabitha, by the way?
Well, she's doing pretty good. She's happy that I'm doing a show tonight, as you can imagine.
This close to Christmas? Never.
Yeah, no way. I think she's downstairs shopping on Amazon, so we'll just...
There better be rum in that, bud, because let me tell you, when that bill comes through, it ain't going to be pretty this year.
I was going to say, hopefully there's something left of the Mallard Estates by the time the night's over.
So what do you think of this whole Trudeau thing, hey, where we can't share news stories on our Facebook anymore? What do you think about that? You must have heard about this.
I did, and that's dumb for Facebook to do that.
It's dumb for him to imply it, though, too.
Well, that too, but, like, you know, why Facebook would go along with that scheme.
I'm going to tell you why. It affected me personally, okay? I go in for an interview on CBC, which is like our version of CNN, okay?
Yeah.
And, like, I'm doing an interview all about my podcast, and I'm so excited about it. Tears full of joy, you know, in my eyes. I'm sipping my Tim Hortons coffee. I'm like, oh, my God, it's so great to be Canadian today. Sip, you know? And I'm so happy. And then I realize I can't share the goddamn interview because it's considered CBC news. It's news. And I'm like, well, what even happened? Well, so you know what? Trudeau? Screw you, Trudeau.
Find a workaround.
Yeah. Yeah, the workaround is to start up another website, basically. Who had that idea a long time ago? I think his name rhymes with Bim Jallard.
I've started a few websites in my time.
So many websites, but still the same big cuddly paranormal teddy bear. Not going to change.
We hope not. I was thinking about that the other day. There's so many websites. And now, you know, I looked at my domain list the other day, and I'm like, God, I got to stop paying for some of this shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't even know why I'm still on Podbean. I have no idea. Like, I love Podbean. They've got a big following there. I mean, geez, there's like thousands and thousands of people follow me there, and, you know, lots and lots of downloads and stuff. Great for me, little guy from Newfoundland. Like, come on. I'm pretty happy with it all. But it's also like, why am I paying so much when I can just get all this for free somewhere else? Like, what am I doing? Is it because it's a reoccurring payment on my credit card and I just don't look?
Well, it's moving all the shit and all the work, man. There's a lot of work that goes in that.
I can't imagine now. Oh, my God. Well, I'm almost up to 300 episodes now, which is nothing for you. How many episodes do you have? That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Like,
it's got to be close to 550. Maybe it's more than that. I don't know. You don't really pay attention anymore. It's just
I do. I do just to see, like, how prolific people are. And that's something I said years ago. It really ruffled everyone's feathers in the paranormal community. And just as soon as I said it, I'm so sick and tired of people coming in with podcast ideas and not being prepared. So they do two or three episodes and then just give up. I hate that, because if you're a first-time podcast listener and you listen and you're like, oh, I kind of like this, and then they're gone, you're like going to probably not want any more of the product. It's like giving people four beer and a six-case beer. Like, you're only getting four beer, the other two are water. You're probably not going to want to buy it again.
Well, the other part of this all, you know, right? Here's the other factor. How many shows did it take for you to get comfortable doing it?
Now, see, I'm very blessed because I got a wrestling background. I mean, I was used to being in front of the microphone, in front of people, like hundreds of people watching me. But, like, honestly, get comfortable with the actual show quality, that probably only happened halfway through those 10 years, realistically. I'm not kidding. Like, the music cues, the sound quality, the editing, like, it really came together for me, but it took years, man. Years.
And then there's, like I said, I've been dealing with these tech gremlins the last 4 weeks, and, like, you'd think by now I'd have a system down. Well, I have a system down, but when the ones and the zeros don't match what I want to do, it's over.
Well, there's another part too, Jim. It's technology is always changing. All it takes is one computer update, and we're up shit the creek.
no joke, man, because, oh, boy, probably was 5 or 6 years ago, got one of those massive Windows updates, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting here. I've got my checklist that Brian Anderson gave me. Go here, 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 right? It's just not working. Like, everything's set right. It's just not working. So I said, Brian, hey, we got to get together about this. This is just not right. He's like, sure. Made some time. And he says, you're never going to believe this, but try this. The one volume level, put it at 0 instead of 100.
Yeah. There's one in Audacity. I believe it or not, you're going to laugh. My stuff I used to edit all my EVP research with is what I record with, because that's what I'm most knowledgeable with. Like, and can really make those levels sound crisp. I love it. And like, I'm an old man set my ways. I'm not giving up my Audacity for no one. I don't care if it takes me 2 hours to edit 5 minutes worth of audio to make it sound okay. You young whippersnappers in your garage band, which is now 20 years old too, I think. But anyway, like I've had experiences where little updates that happen with Audacity, and all of a sudden, my personal favorite thing to happen, the recording ratios are wrong. So it will record like at a higher hertz level than what you need for your quality. And then when you put it and render it, everybody sounds like this. It's like a Chipmunk Christmas special. Yeah, that guest ain't coming back.
Oh, I've had some that, you know, well, because I do live, so some people get to hear it, right?
Right.
But the one night, man, I was all excited, good show. Open that folder to post that bad boy so I could get the notes done and this, that, and the other. I open that folder, and it's got 5,800 and some pieces of MP3s. And I went, ooh, that's awkward. But I was hoping, you know, maybe it was one big chunk in like a bunch of seconds, right?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Every clip was about 0.75 seconds. Like, you got bloop, bloop, bloop. And I'm like, nope. Done. That one just never happened.
Let it go. Let it go. Let it go out to the void.
I'm not sure I could sit around and edit that much with still having any sanity left or having it done by now. I mean, let's be honest.
I'm very grateful for the knowledge base it's given me, because I can take a really bad sounding episode, and that happens sometimes, man. Like, one day I had my microphone, I swear to God, I tilted my microphone too high up by accident. I might nudge it with my elbow. I'm not even kidding. And it was touching this thing here, this, I don't know if you can see it.
Pop filter. Yeah.
Right. So, like, and this is made of metal, so it was getting a bit of interference, and I had a in the background. The most wonderful interview you'll ever hear, and all you hear in the background is a mosquito the entire time.
Should have first,
so like, you should have the ability to
campfire sounds and just left it.
Yeah, and this is the bear. But like, to be able to go in there and actually know how to edit that out so you don't sound horrible. It's a labor of love, Jim. Always has been. And, you know, I can't imagine my life without it. I'm so glad. I'm so proud of the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. You know, it's just been all over the world now. It's grown considerably. It's bigger than me. And yeah. I love that. It'll be here long after I'm gone. That's for sure.
And the fun thing about it is, like, I the numbers are phenomenal, right? Whatever. They don't mean anything anymore. Because, you know, once you get to a certain point, it's like, yeah, okay. Then you see all these countries and you're like, yeah, okay. Like, okay, well, that's
pretty cool. But
it is pretty cool. But after a while it becomes like, oh, what's the difference between 40 and 45? It's like, not much.
You're right. And I think the term you used many years ago when you tried to explain that to me was, you always be chasing your tails. You might as well just enjoy it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. The real benefit of this, all right, and I'm sure you've experienced this, is the personal connections you make with guests and listeners who sometimes will surprise you in the most humbling and kind ways.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's been times where I've had interviews with guests that I felt exhausted and drained because I'm the one giving in that interview. You know what I'm talking about. I'm the one kind of putting the show on, and there. But then there's other guests where I'm absolutely captivated, and it's just, I would love to sit down and have a drink with this person anyway. So it's really, really cool that to come across and just listen to them and interact with them. And usually with me, like, I'm still in the realm of the paranormal. I know you've branched out and done many different topics now. So good to see that, by the way.
I've kind of come back to the paranormal, though.
Yeah, but you still cover it sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah. I try to keep the splits going because, you know how I am. I can't stay focused too long or I get bored. So
not only that, we've beaten the dead horse 25 times by now.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was out for a ride with my wife, and I said, what is left in the paranormal? Like, I think it's on the downhill climb anyways, because there's not, like, that much TV interest anymore.
It's definitely cyclical, usually following really big world events, metaphysics, and really all kinds of spiritualism type things kind of grow. I call it the faith pop or the faith blowback after a big deal, like after World War One, after World War Two, after 9/11. After 9/11 was a big one, and I think that's why the plumbers got so famous. Personally, I think the world needed to start believing in something other than what's in front of them, because it's a dark, scary place. And I do think that was a major catalyst for that growth, because I know it was the early 2000s when Ghost Hunters came out, that TV show, and you got to give the devils their due. It's where it started. Love them or hate them, it's where it started.
Yeah, I'm indifferent to them anymore. It's fun to watch them have their feud and all this other stuff. So it's kind of...
It all goes back to professional wrestling, Jim.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the best way for them to keep people tuning in, is laying the smackdown on each other. I wish they'd cut harder promos and have a good time with it, but it doesn't seem to have bought in that far yet.
It's only a matter of time. It's like, we're going to do an EVP session in a steel cage, because you got to do something different to keep it interesting, right? Yeah, remember we made the joke 10 years ago? Yeah, I mean, next thing you know, people will be naked doing this, and then they friggin' did it.
Yeah, they stole our idea.
Like, not only did they steal our idea, the people weren't even that good looking. Like, what were they thinking? Like, I mean, hello, I'm right here. Oh my God. You know what? You got to have a certain kind of faith to be a paranormal type person. I really do think there's a faith involved with all this. I do.
Well, I mean,
you have to have faith in something that's not there. And much like a scientist who's trying to figure out how something works, anybody who's involved with the paranormal, they got that mindset of, how is this working? What are the mechanics behind it? And well, really,
let's be honest, there are some people out there who are just in love with the chase, the thrill of the chase.
Yeah.
And other people like us who at this point in being here are like, how does it work? And how does the capture of this work? And you kind of bounce back and forth, ping pong.
It's like, how are we capturing EVPs when there's no vocal cords present to make the sound? You know, that kind of, those kind of ideas that are out there for people. But there's also the people who are purely there for the excitement of it and for the camaraderie of it. And I think that's something that I kind of missed out on, because a lot of my stuff I did by myself. I'm an EVP guy, which means I like quiet, like really quiet, like just me and maybe another person at the most. And even then I'm like, please leave. I'm kind of an introverted paranormal investigator, former, I should say. And, you know, just
former. Whoa. When did it happen?
Oh, you didn't hear? Apparently okay. Not. So almost 2 years ago to the day, I almost died.
I missed that too. So you don't have to tell a story.
Okay. Here.
I did know you weren't well, but I didn't know how severe it was, I guess. Let's be honest.
Okay. So the 27th of December in 2021, me and my wife were out celebrating Christmas. We actually got a night at the hotel, and
she went with my brother. Killed you, is what I'm hearing. True crime, she right here on the Mauer Report.
True crime. She's small, but she's fierce. But anyway, my sister and brother-in-law were celebrating their anniversary. We all got a hotel stay from my parents as a gift, which I thought was awesome. They'll look after the kids, and we can go and get, you know, do our thing. Yeah. I thought that was great. What an awesome idea. I wasn't feeling too hot over Christmas, I'll be honest. I didn't think I had anything really wrong with me. A little sniffle. The fear of COVID was very real at that point. I was like, man, like, do I have COVID? And I tested negative like 4 times. So just wasn't COVID. anyway, 27 came around. We went out, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to hang in the hotel room, have a beer, and we'll just chill and whatever. And they were like, we're all going to go downstairs and go swimming now. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really feeling up to it. I'm going to stay up here. And they went on downstairs, and they came back up, and I looked at her, and I never forget it. She cocked in, and I said, yeah, I got to go to the hospital. I don't feel good. Like, something's not right. I could tell. And she looked at me, and she was like, there's nothing wrong. Like, my wife's a nurse, so no remorse. There's nothing wrong with you. You're fine, Johnny. Boy, come on now. You're okay. I was like, yeah, I don't know, love. I think something's seriously bad here. And anyway, I kind of jaw-jacked with her a little bit. And was like, listen, I'm going. Are you coming or not? And she knew I was serious then. Went downstairs. Just having a lot of trouble breathing at that point. Got in a cab, drove to the hospital. Went to the waiting room of the hospital, walked in, told the lady what was going on. Everyone was super heightened from COVID, so they immediately put me over in a corner and were like, put us around him just in case. He's showing the signs. Like it was crazy in Canada. It was like, hey, buddy. Hey, buddy, get behind a curtain, buddy. It's like, so curtain's going to help. Curtain's going to help a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Saying, like, okay.
Right? So anyway, I go in. And they're like, yeah, your vitals seem okay, but your oxygen is really, really low. Like, we can't explain this. And I was like, okay. And they did a rapid test back then. They actually had the rapid test available, thank God, like, where they can test you for COVID, like, and they get the result back. Oh, like, just like you can get it now with a regular rapid test. But back then, that was relatively new, especially here in Canada. Great healthcare, but we're a little behind. Yeah. People don't realize that.
Pros and cons, right?
They don't realize that. They're like, oh, yeah, it's great, free healthcare. Like, yeah, but it's also behind by a few years for the most part. So just keep that in mind. Yeah, she took my oxygen. She's like, I gotta keep you in overnight, like, just to make sure you're okay. And yeah. This looks really, she's like, I'm concerned, but at the same time, I'm seeing you're okay. So we'll just see what happens. Anyway, I remember they put me in the bed and they're like, yeah, why don't you put this mask on now and we'll give you some oxygen and help you bring up those levels and you can just have a rest because you seem like you're really tired. I was like, yeah, okay. My last memory was rolling over like 4 o'clock in the morning, ripping the mask off my face and feeling my lungs just spasm. So I couldn't breathe and pretty much died sat up. So 2 weeks go by. I wake up from a coma. Yeah, high as a kite on propofol, by the way. Hell of a drug.
Sounds like
there's no point doing any other drug on the planet. It'll never be as high as propofol. It's a derivative. Like, you know how people talk about, like, doing all kinds of crazy, like, what's that, ayahuasca stuff? Like, it's in the same family, the synthetic version of that. Absolutely wasted. Like, total coma for 2 weeks. Woke up a mess, didn't know where I was, know who I was, couldn't feed myself, couldn't do nothing for like a week. And all this was during a massive pandemic outbreak, so no one got to see me. So I was in hospital. I woke up in a different year. Yeah. And Bob Saget was dead, and so was Betty White. So, and I was like, tell me this isn't true. But it was true.
Yeah, I'm good.
It took me about 6 months to recover. I was a really sick man. Lost 40 pounds. Hey. But it was pretty much all muscle, unfortunately. I was really, really sick. Took me about 6 months to recover realistically. 3 months to get back on my feet. 6 months to fully recover to actually be like productive member of society again and like work and stuff. There was some setbacks along the way, but nothing too major. And just ever since then, my life has just been completely different. Like, so much more laser focused on family time.
Yeah.
So much more laser focused on, I'm doing the things I want to do now. And other people's things they want to do are secondary now. You become a little bit more selfish, but only because you don't know how much time you got. Mm-hmm. And this is the most terrifying way to die is asphyxiation. There's no scarier way to die because, I mean, my last thought was, oh my God, I'm going to die. And my eyes, I can remember my eyes being wide and me going, oh, and everything's starting to go dark and hazy. And I'm like, oh my God. And and I remember the nurse, calm and cool as a cucumber. I can remember her just being there with me, Mr. Mallard. And then that voice went away. And the stuff I seen in that coma, I can remember a lot, and it's insane. Hey, you want to talk about where people's NDEs come from? Go on Propofol, and you pretty much get an explanation of everything. It's crazy what you see in those dreams, and it's all as real can be, yet so screwed up and bizarre. And like, I've had multiple people kind of tear it apart from a purely scientific view of what happened to me in my coma, like the actual dreams I remember. And they were like, oh yeah, this is just Freud everywhere. Like, this is Freudian. This is what this represented. This is what this represents. And the other people were like, yeah, you're getting visits from like past life people here. Like, you're getting shaman in your dreams, smudging you. Like, it was insane. Like, I smile and laugh about it because, like, I'll be honest, like, I don't think many people on the planet will experience what I experienced and have the vivid memories I have. Very few people, they might have some memory, but not like me. I've got just an insane amount of memory. I wrote them all down. A great book. So anyway,
coming soon.
Near-death experience, total new lease on life, an urgency to do the things that are more physical now, which is why I'm putting paranormal on the back burner. There's also a part of me too that was trying to hang it up anyway, because like, I can't remain objective anymore. I cannot go out there as an investigator and remain objective. I've seen too much. I've documented too much. I've written too much on the subject. It's real. It's right there in front of people. And I can't investigate with that mindset. That's not a hunter's mind. That's a hunter's mindset, not an investigator's. And I can't do it anymore. Not with the right mindset of not just trying to find out what's going on in these haunted locations, but understanding the mechanics behind it, stuff like that. Like, I realized I can't go any farther than what I got. And if I did go any farther, it's not going to be taken serious because I don't have that science background. So at the end of the day, it was trying to hang up those recorders and spirit boxes and say, you know what? Job well done. 8 years. Wonderful time. Loved it. Wrote a book, wrote a bestseller on the subject. I mean, the work speaks for itself. People still use my work as an example, especially with the spirit box stuff, because so many people are so against that. Like, this is not real. Like, it's fake, and this is how your brain does it. And it's just like, I mean, it's my name. It's saying what color my shirt has. It's saying all these things, and it's all like 4 or 5 word sentences. Like, this is not normal. This is not bad. This is like, Johnny is here. Hi, John. You're hearing this shit.
Yeah, but that's not right between the two groups of people that are out there. There's this gold standard. Right, and that's left here 40.
My personal favorite, I swear to God, I'm not even kidding, and I don't want to point any laughing, but there's a local investigator here, and she I can't even tell the story. I'm crying laughing now. Okay, so she put out the video, and she's like, oh my God, you're not gonna believe I caught this with my spirit box. And like, I swear to God, it was Taylor Swift, like plain as day. And I'm pretty sure it was, haters.
Don't fix ball holes.
No. It was like, haters gonna play. I swear to God, I went, haters. And as haters, it was her voice. And I was just like, I'm not gonna do it. No, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. Don't put the message in the comments. You're not in this anymore. You don't have to. It's okay, Johnny. It's okay, Johnny. You don't have to defend it anymore.
Here's the fun. I mean, this is fun, I guess, but I'm crossing that bridge too. I don't know exactly where the future holds for all this, right? Because, like you, how many more investigators can I talk to and hear about Bob Mackey's or wherever they want to go? I'm kind of over all of that. I haven't investigated in years either, so I feel more and more removed from that.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, I believe, but what I believe is, you know, it's what it is right now. I don't think anybody's going to say anything great that's going to make me believe any more or any less at this point. And conspiracies, holy smokes, like, I can't keep up. And, like, hey.
Good luck.
Not your background behind you is white. Prove me wrong. Not your shirt, your background. Prove me wrong.
Okay, fine.
I seen it on the internet. It must be true.
We are blinded by media and social media. Keep in mind that social media barely existed back when the paranormal investigating really took off.
That's a fact. MySpace.
So I think it completely just inundated it. So what ended up happening? Suddenly you had like 1,000 ghost hunting teams everywhere, and everyone's getting data, but not everyone's as credible, we'll say, as everyone else. And everyone gets lumped into the same group, right?
But you know this. Answer this, right? 10 years. We'll take the 10-year sample from your show, right?
Yep.
Have we seen anything better from day one to today as it relates to videos or real strong audio recordings across the board?
I think it's gotten worse.
That's what I'm saying. Like, have we seen anything? Like, you know,
I actually think the data that was collected in the original first three seasons of Ghost Hunters is probably a little bit more credible than the stuff afterwards, but mainly because it was more raw.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Did you hear that? Next on Discovery.
Yeah. Bro, I just got chills. Well, that means it's real.
Boy,
that's my favorite one.
I got goosebumps. Chills too.
I've been on hundreds of investigations, and my thing has always been to investigate the same place over and over and over again to try to get repeatable data. And you know, that's been my quote unquote gold standard. You know who I'm thinking about now? The gold standard in paranormal radio. Oh, am I gonna get sued? Probably not. But anyway, I had to say it. I know you can't wait to talk about those guys. Anyway, we're gonna talk about it. Here it comes. Being in the same location, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, and trying to get the same voices saying the same things. It's the closest thing the science ever got with this stuff, to a point where I was in a very haunted location and only investigated there privately for 3 years straight. Like, I was going to release a second book, but this all fell through because there was a shift in management. Mm-hmm. And I was just, that really took the wind out of my sails too. I'm not going to lie. Like, I had that book ready to go, but they looked at me and said, if we release this, it's going to have an effect on us here, and I don't think it's going to be positive. And I was just like, really? Because, like, for years we were doing charity ghost hunts there, like raising money for funds for the building and stuff like that, and then new management come in and they're like, yeah, we don't like, basically new management come in, we don't like this paranormal thing, see you later. Yeah. And I was just like, I'm here now with 170 pages of edited book ready to go. It was ready to be shipped off to the editor, because I promised myself I wouldn't do 250 this time. It was too freaking long last time. Oh my God. But you know, everyone just had to have their 101 ghost hunting tips in the back of the book, didn't they? But I know it was corny. It was corny. It was good corny. It was a fun corny. They kind of closed the door on me there, and I was just like, wow, all my data. Thank God I put up my videos and stuff I caught, because they can't stop that. I had permission for all that. But then I was like, God damn it, I got everything here, and the book rewritten, like I'm ready. And they're like, no, we can't allow this to happen. It's a government site. We don't like this, blah, blah, blah. Really unfortunate. And I think that took the wind out of my sails a bit too, right? It was like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? I was super excited to do it again and like have a sequel, but this time only in one location with just as much data as I gathered in 7. Like, that was the idea. I'm going to show you guys repeatable data in this one place and prove to you that these places are quite haunted. And you know, 3 or 4 out of 20 investigations, I catch something there. Like, this is how the paranormal works. Like, the idea that you can go to a place 20 times and only catch something 3 or 4 of those investigations, and it might not even be that credible, it is a testament to this and why the ghost hunting shows aren't the best thing, because they go one location and they jump to the next. So statistically, they're only getting a minutia of what's probably in that location. And half the stuff they got, they probably don't even release because it's not clear enough. So there you go. I think the next step, and I think it's going to happen soon, is basically we almost got to the point where the science-minded people were jumping in and we're like, okay, there's something here. Let's work on this. Let's see what we can do. And then that all fell apart too. And the reason why is because you're right. Popularity of it started to dwindle.
Yep.
Right? You give this another little while. Give this another little while. Yeah. It'll be back again. It'll be a cycle again. And just like Bigfoot, remember, that whole thing happened a few years ago again. It cycled again. It was big again for another year or two. And, like, it was a big deal. And, you know, it's just, I believe this will cycle around again. I'll probably be old and gray. And here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing about, you know, this whole paranormal thing. It seems to favor the old man more than the young man.
Thanks.
And I think it's better for me to do it then. Right now, I got to focus on what I can do for fun and for fulfillment right now in the body I have while I got it. Because I don't know how long I'm going to have this body for now.
Oh, wait. Time out. Got a question from Gio over here in the chat room. I actually got to pay attention to that tonight once in a while.
Hey, buddy. Sorry about that.
That's okay. He's been on the pond for about a year now, so we're excited. I say
that. Nice.
It could be 2 years for all. I don't know. It all blurs together. Oh, by the way, 559 tonight. So.
Oh, episode number 559?
Yeah, I had to look it up. So.
I heard it's your most handsome episode.
Could be. As long as we're looking at you.
I'm doing this with my split screen, right? Like,
well, the worst thing is I have my picture in the chat room and I see that and I'm looking at myself way too much tonight. Anyways, back to his question. Has anyone found any interesting messages by playing Taylor Swift backwards?
Yeah. Something like, just go with it. She really is. She deserves to be on Time Magazine. Like, yeah. That's what I got, right? That's what I got the last time I was on it. You know what I think? I think there are some people who deserve that honor. And I think there are some people who are genuinely talented and adaptive. And I will give her that. Mm. I think she's fantastic. I joke about Taylor Swift and how sick I am of listening to her on the radio. Like, I'm going to draw, like, oh my God. But it's probably been since Madonna or Britney Spears since we really had a big female star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and, like, don't get me wrong, you know, totally should have went to Beyonce, to quote Kanye here. My God, how many years? Was that 10 years ago?
Well, that's got to be at least. Oh, my.
Crazy. Old. But I'm thinking that if there was a message played backwards during EVP session, it would probably have something to do with an ex-boyfriend, a vengeful spirit.
A future boyfriend that we can break the code on.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm telling you, this football guy, he's screwed. Yeah. I knew it right away. I like, he's done. He's done.
Yeah, we've already got the new CD. They still call them CDs? Anybody?
Oh, my God. So, like, okay, funny story about that. Totally sidetracked. Anyway, hope we answered your question, Gio guy. Thanks.
Well, yeah. It just popped up there. Taylor's not a star. She's an industry. That's a fact, too. She's got a whole...
It's crazy
how
popular this person is, but also desperately needed that niche filled. There's no one. So I'm not surprised. There's no one new in 10 years that really has come around and been like, okay, big deal. Yeah. And I was really hopeful that it would be a female person on Time Magazine this year. And I'm glad it's somebody who actually does nice things with her money.
Yeah.
There are people out there who deserve to be on there for philanthropy alone. She would be up there. You should really look into her for her charitable donations. Some of that, it's considerable. And we love that. I love that. That to me is really what it's all about. After you get a couple of million, nothing matters anymore anyway, Jim. It's all the same.
Well, I'd like to try it.
I can get millions in debt.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of millions in debt, I hate this. I literally hate this. Elon Musk is ruining my baby for more than like 13 years. Like, that's, I've been there like every day, and like, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Like, I'm spending less and less time there. Like, it's weird.
So I haven't been on Twitter since it became X.
Ooh, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants.
I don't understand it anymore, and I realize that this is just not for me. I love the tweets, but like, it just, I don't know. It was already like a cesspool.
Yeah.
So I think the idea was that we just turned this into a more of a money making thing. But I really feel like this is, he's getting dangerously close to like crazy rich billionaire evil guy now. He's getting like this close. He better be careful. Like he's getting there. He's getting there. Well, you see that rocket?
Yeah, I seen the rocket. But think about this, Sean. Now here's the problem. He has all this money on Twitter, right? And he's scaring advertisers away. Like we'd like to pick them up.
I mean, yep.
Hello, American Express. You got some extra money now. I mean, anyways, we're a lot cheaper. Maybe not
right.
quite reach as Twitter, but I mean, maybe it's getting closer by the day. So
between right? the both of us, we will own X soon.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So we'll start Mallard. We'll figure out how to spell it though.
Mallards. Oh no. Mallard Squared Report. Ooh.
Oh, well, there we go.
Right.
But man,
right.
with all the money it's gonna come due and it could trickle down where I mean, because none of these people are that cash liquid and he could be losing Tesla and poof. It'll all be done.
Here's the thing though. The issue I got with that idea is that he's the face of that stuff now, though.
Well, you could play him in a movie. So,
I think that he'd be like the perfect Lex Luthor. I really do. Like, we should do this.
Who's playing on the other side, though? Here we go. Let's cast.
My question is, what's the motivation in buying a social media platform that you already had enough money to just take over anyway with random bots? Like, what was the motivation truly there?
Yeah, I was gonna say, and then take because it was hemorrhaging money before, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and then come in and ruin the advertising, built the base, and it's like, this seems to be going backwards. But what do I know? I'm not this mogul, but. I know enough about business. You can't, stick money in the fire and expect it to come back.
But is it more of like maybe it wasn't so much about making more money. Maybe it was more about having the power over people. Like, I think the whole thing with Trump when he was elected and all the Twitter scandal crap and all the stuff that was going on, that really opened people's eyes to how powerful these things are. Not that we didn't know that already. I mean, Facebook is just full of old voters. Facebook is voter book now, but the young generation aren't on that anymore. They're on Snapchat. They're on Instagram. So Twitter is like, I'm going to buy this now. It's almost felt like a power political type move or like, I will own this world. I can do what I want.
TikTok now. I mean, that's right. Where, I mean, let's trickle down to that, man. Have you heard of TikTok?
Have you yeah. Of course I heard of TikTok. Hang on. I got to do my dance, right? I have a 13-year-old daughter, Jim. Of course I know what TikTok is. It's literally the excuse for never doing any of her chores.
Doing the dance or just watching videos?
Bit of both, really. Bit of both.
I'll be honest. I do enjoy it, though. Not the dances. But there are clips of videos that are really good out there that make you go in and find the full video.
I love, it's my favorite way, and I hate to say this, but, once again, we talked about many years ago about how radio is dying and has been dying for a long time, and video now is dying. Because now we're getting videos are replaced with short clips. Like 4 or 5 minute videos are forever.
Remember Vine? 6 seconds, man. They had it. And then that was poof.
That was absorbed.
Yeah.
Wasn't that sold off?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It was sold to Twitter. Twitter bought it and ran it in the ground. They hit it.
I love Vine, actually. I remember I used to watch the Christmas Vines of all the cats jumping in the trees. It was good stuff.
That was like a high-speed GIF.
I like remembering these little tidbits, but I always wonder, like, I'm going to be 40 in February. Like, I remember the 90s very fondly. I remember the 80s a little bit. Like, those generational things, those 10-year spans, like, 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s hit, and it seemed like all that just kind of dissipated. Like, our kids... Are they going to have those kind of memory about this stuff? We remember decades and the stuff that went on inside the decades. They seem to live their lives in a much more compartmentalized way. Because I asked my little girl, like, what do you remember, like, about these years and stuff like that? And she's just like, I don't know, it all kind of mushes together. And I thought that was interesting. I always felt like we separated our stuff with decades before, right?
Yeah.
I remember the 90s. I remember this. Like,
so, well, talk to me about the teens, the 2000 to 2020. 2010 to 2020. Like, it doesn't seem like that existed. Like, there's like, not marketing
there. I mean, I know I graduated high school 2002.
Yeah.
And those years flew. But, like, I don't remember a decade from that time frame. The only thing that separates it all for me is my little girl was born 2010. So that kind of helped a bit. But, like, other than that milestone, everything else is just a blur. So I really do wonder, like, has social media affected us as almost like a tradition destroying thing, much like radio was destroyed by video, video was destroyed by clips, we'll say. And, you know, like, I always kind of wonder, what are we sacrificing for the convenience of the fun right now? Right.
Oh yeah. It is interesting because everything's here except real human relationships.
It's true. It's true.
If somebody calls you, you say, why are you calling me, not texting me?
Not even that. It's like, oh my God, who's this? The anxiety of it all. I remember when I used to ride my bike to my friend's house and be like, I'd be six or seven bicycles outside. And I go, oh my God, that's where my bros are at. I'm going over hanging out with them. Now it's like, how do kids hang out? They don't even hang out. They have play dates that their parents put together for them. Mainly because we're now aware of how many pedophiles, rapists, and killers are out there. And I really do think we're, like, you ever hear the term strong men and women create weak times?
Yep.
Weak times create weak men and women.
Yep.
Weak men and women create bad, sad times. Bad, sad times create strong men and women. Yep. Like, that whole thing. Like, I kind of wonder, are we headed towards that weak time? And did it start really in the 90s? And I think we are. I do. And I'm seeing it. Did you ever research the Father Omens before?
No, I can't say I have, but I might have heard somewhere about it. But go ahead, finish your thought.
No gender, no marriage, no religion, everything gone. And then everything, everything just fell apart. I wonder the way things are, the political correctness of it all. You know, I just wonder what kind of time we live in it. And I wonder what kind of future my kids are going to have, right? My two biological kids. I got 10 foster kids now.
Told you, cheaper by the dozen. Nailed it.
Actually, technically, yeah, I guess you could say that. There's one or two kids in there that I'm not counting because it was only for like a month.
Your wife would count you, so that really does. It just adds up, so.
I just don't want to have 13. I think it's unlucky.
Something to be said for that, for sure.
Yeah, the little guy was with me now, came with us a year ago, last week, actually. So he's been with us for a full year. Can't imagine the mental strain on a little child, 5 or 6 years old, removed from their family and having to come live with me a week before Christmas.
Yeah, that's got to be
absolutely heartbreaking. My heart has been busy with other things, too.
Yes, makes you wonder, though, man. I mean, you're doing great things over there, but how many kids are still stuck?
Jim, it's like throwing a thimbleful of water into a blaze.
That's what I'm saying. But
I'll throw that thimbleful at least of something, right? It's non-stop, never-ending. We've got a lot of rights as human beings that you don't know about until you have to go to court and lose your child. And that system is so broken, so beyond broken, but it's still a system and it still works for the most part. There are lives saved every day with that system. Whether it might not be the way people like to say it, but it is true. And, you know, it really is, it's gotten much worse. I'm actually kind of privy to a lot of statistics, which is really cool about this is because there's not so many people doing it. Everyone's a nerd. So it's kind of cool to be like, okay, so like how many foster kids are available in Newfoundland? It's like hundreds. We got a population of 500,000. That's not scary. Very much at all. I mean, not very much at all. Very high percentage of drug use here. Very high percentage of prostitution here. Very high percentage of just people were just broken people. And The opioid pandemic is only now hitting here in the last 5 years. And you guys have had it for 15 or 20 now.
Yeah, as I say, it's been in this neighborhood for at least 15.
And like these are the people who are having kids who can't look after their children.
We have
who
more
wind up in the system for the most part.
I shouldn't say this, John. Who have more kids than teeth?
I have more what?
More kids than teeth.
More kids than teeth?
Yeah.
How many teeth do I have?
I don't know.
But I have 13 teeth, don't I?
I hope so. Well, how many you've lost through the years?
I haven't lost any teeth, man. I'm very thankful. Considering all the wrestling I've done, that's actually kind of...
I'm surprised with all the wrestling, and, you know, I got to throw in their hockey because you're Canadian.
Wow. I'm going to be honest with you, though. My hockey team right now is the most bipolar team there is. Right? Like, for the last 6 years, I couldn't watch the Wings play. I couldn't watch them. They're that bad. And this year, they had this really hot start. And a couple of good stars were finally starting to season up. And I was really excited. And my dad was excited, too. My dad is still alive, by the way.
Oh, that's good to know.
14 years with stage 4 renal cancer. Still alive. One of the longest reigning, I call him the longest reigning cancer champions. Like, how this guy's still there. But anyways, he's a devout Detroit Red Wings fan. Yeah. Although, he's ready to sell his gear after the last couple of games, I think. And, yeah, we were like, yeah, we should get center ice this year. Just enjoy it together. And, yeah. You know, he's getting older now. He's getting sicker. I know what's up, right? So, yeah, I go over pretty much every second night with him, watch a hockey game. And Detroit are like, the first part of the season, play great, right? Then they had a little slump for a few games. Then they played great for the 3 or 4 games. Like, it was just, they were just rocking her, rocking the top of the division, kicking everyone's ass. And now it's just been, everyone's hurt. Everyone can't play anymore. It's horrible. So there you go. Detroit Red Wings are my hockey team. Oh, I don't think they're going to make it again this year, unfortunately. It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, well, it's better than the Leafs, so you're okay.
Well, I don't know what's worse, not getting in the playoffs for the last – now, don't get me wrong. Detroit had a streak of like 20-odd years, 25 years straight in the Stanley Cup playoffs, longest streak in sports, actually.
Yeah.
But, man, and then,
you can be in there 25 years, and if you don't win it
– But they won it. They won it 4 times.
100 years ago.
No, they had the last cup they won was 2008.
Oh, no,
not long ago.
Not Red Wings. I remember.
No, you're talking Montreal. That's 30 years ago this year, by the way.
Okay, I knew one of your Canadian teams sucked.
Oh, the Maple Leafs haven't got any colored pictures with the cup.
Yeah, so that's
what 19. I think it was 67.
Back when it was this big.
I don't even know if it was. I think dinosaurs roamed the earth back then, right?
When Stanley presented them the cup.
Yeah.
Speaking of Stanley Cups, did you see that video of that lady's car that burned up and her Stanley Cup was still in there? Not the Stanley Cup, a Stanley mug.
It survived?
It survived and there was still ice in it after the car was on fire?
That does not surprise me. You know, God bless her heart. She will be remembered and will probably use the Stanley mug as her urn.
We got to hope, right?
Yeah, it's really quite incredible, like the things they can come up with and the ability to insulate with cold, right? I don't know. I haven't found a good thermos yet to keep things hot for a long period of time yet. I'm sure you can get one. Probably like a military one would probably be good. But like for the most part, we're real good at keeping things cold.
Move to Florida. Everything will stay warm.
Dude, well, you all know I'm all about the Celsius. So, you know, we're actually shocked. It's like 4 days before Christmas, and we had 11 degrees Celsius here.
Wow.
Which is, like, friggin' warm for Newfoundland. Like, that's warm. Like, our hottest weather is below 30 degrees Celsius. I'm not really understanding of Fahrenheit, to be honest. I'm totally ignorant to it.
Don't feel bad.
I'll say that Newfoundland is a cold-as-hell place for the most part.
I get it.
But delightful to live here. Pretty peaceful. Very little crime.
Drugs and the prostitution. And
a lot of prostitution, a lot of drugs. A lot of drugs. It's really bad. Like, it
sounds like a good town, like Vegas.
I think it's like, it's Vegas, but like you can't get a VLT machine here because, you know, someone's already on it. There's like 100 here.
Where where should people go find you? We mentioned Podbean earlier.
Podbean is like my main home, and that's when I promoted for so long. But like, I'm everywhere. Like, there's nowhere I'm not. You can find the Odd and Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast anywhere. It's a monthly paranormal variety show, which usually ends up being twice a month. Sue me. Okay? Sue me. Paranormal News, Cryptid Corner, and usually a guest. For the most part, I like having the guests on the show, but I've gotten to the point, too, where I'm comfortable talking about stuff myself now for an hour, if need be. And that's kind of cool, too.
That's fine.
Especially when you want to deep dive into something. And, you know, we get a big bump in numbers, too, just off October. I do a podcast every day of October. I do one episode every day for 5 minutes.
Because he's nuts.
Yes, but also very smart. You can record a lot 5 minute segments, man. Like, you can do 10 of them in a night.
Okay.
I mean, it's not as hard. Because I have the know-how and the editing, like, I can edit 4 or 5 and pump them out, like, in 5 minutes if I know what I'm doing and everything sounds right. So just can't screw up when I'm recording.
So we have a minute left, so I got to ask you Gio's favorite last question to ask guest.
Yep.
Just because he's here, he's been hanging out with us. It's the toughest question of the night.
Yep.
You ready? Go-to favorite breakfast.
Oh, my go-to favorite breakfast? Oh, my God. I love breakfast sandwiches of all sorts. But, like, one of my favorites is sausage, egg.
Egg.
Okay. And maple syrup.
Maple syrup. Yeah.
Right.
On a sandwich?
On a sandwich.
Hmm. Gonna have to try that. And that's another.
Try sausage and egg, bacon, egg. Think about smoked maple bacon.
Not kind of deal. Bacon, right? Just regular bacon.
Oh, yeah. No, American bacon all the way, man.
Okay. Yeah,
Canadians don't eat Canadian bacon.
You got to make sure.
We want your big, fat bacon. We want yours.
Okay, well, you can have it, except mine.
Right.
Well, John, I thank you for pitch hitting. This doesn't seem like it's been an hour, but it goes by quick when we get together.
It's so kind of wild, actually, how fast an hour will go. And I love being your pinch hitter, man. I love it.
So we'll have to catch up again before it gets too long.
Yeah. Hopefully I don't die again.
Yeah, hopefully not. I mean, if that's what it takes to get you back on the show, we'll have to be a little more careful.
Pretty soon you might have to use the ghost box as a doctor.
All right, brother. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Science! 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 Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes.
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes.
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes. Mm. Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.